friends and students. For those of us who are traveling the sunlit way, this season has peculiar advantage. As the Great One, our Lord the Sun, starts on his journey northward, seeking in his first efforts to reach the heights, traveling further and further into space, taking us with him, we have an opportunity. If we can link our consciousness with the consciousness of the sun, in ever so small a way, we can sense something of the great power that he is bringing to birth for the spring season of our earth. We know that with the coming of spring, everything becomes beautiful. The birds sing and mate and bring forth their young. Man in his normal state would do the same. We can feel the impact of that higher force as it descends and pours into our auras and into our consciousness. And we can feel the pull from above and the pull from below. But if we can keep our consciousness linked with that of the sun in his upward climb, we can climb and onward and upward with him, our consciousness will open more and more. And there comes a day when he reaches the zenith, then there is a moment of utter and complete silence. At that moment, the gates of the sun open. And one who has followed the course with him and has reached the zenith with him may enter those gates. That is an opportunity that is before you. It is an opportunity worth working for. It's a glorious opportunity. And after that, when he descends to the nether realms, you remain within. There is no more descent to the nether realms for you. There is attainment. There is victory. There is the power from your high point to reach out with that love and light which the sun bears for all of us. Reach out with compassion, with nobility, to all those who move within your environment. Such a time comes to all of us who are faithful. I wish right here we might sing that song, "Come All Ye Faithful." Do we have it there? I think it is something we should all remember and use. You remember many times I've told you that when you stood in the sunlight, to put out your hand and feel of it. It is the aura of the sun. It is an actual sun substance. It isn't just enough. It's a vital substance. And as you touch that aura, your consciousness can awaken a response from the sun. And you will know that response when it comes. It's not an illusion. It's a reality. And it comes to all who truly, sincerely, and selflessly give of themselves. Give to the sun, not seeking to receive, but yet remaining open to receive if he chooses to give. Did you find it there?
Yes.
All right. Are you all right? Christian church. And we who think we know the meaning of the Christ, who think we appreciate him, can worship with them and with him. A great master came to us to help the human race. He demonstrated compassion, kindness, friendliness. He demonstrated the fact of life after death. He raised the dead. He reappeared to his students so that they could all see him after the crucifixion. And only a great master could do those things. They're real things. They're things that we look hopefully for, toward in our day of time. It has been said that if he returned to earth today, he would be worse than crucified. And I say to you that if his consciousness during this season touches the human race, he must be crucified 1,000 times again. I have told some of you of a vision I had of the Christ one, and I think I'll tell you again because I'd like you to remember it. I was on an inner plane, and I saw a great crowd of people all crowding around some central figure. I went over to see what it was, and at the center of this crowd stood the one we call Jesus the Christ. He was looking at them. He would turn his head and look around and smile and smile and smile. I wish you could have seen that smile. Such utter compassion you couldn't imagine. Such utter kindness. Such utter sweetness. And yet, on the outskirts of that crowd were those who were hooting him, hissing at him, sneering at him. Finally, one spat at him, and he turned around and just looked at him. And I think he must save the man's soul with that look. And then I became aware of another thing that was happening. He was not standing still. He was moving slowly and steadily onward and upward. And as he moved with that slow, almost unnoticeable rhythm, the whole crowd was drawn onward and upward. The good, the bad, the indifferent. He was leading them onward. And so it is with all the great ones. You may not know what they're doing. They may seem to be doing nothing at all. Perhaps just loving you a little. And yet, if you could see with the inner gaze, you would find that you were being steadily drawn inward and upward toward that which your soul seeks, toward that only which is worth reaching. And now let's have another song. Faye, what would you suggest?
No, the White Christmas.
All right, let's have that. I think that would be lovely. I don't know. I'll let you make the selection.
Fun of this Christmas season because it brings out the joy of the inner world into the outer world, and we see people making efforts that they don't make all year around because the love touches them and they want to give, they want to forgive their enemies, and they feel that joy in their heart. So as the year rolls around, may we all retain in our heart some of this Christmas joy and remember The mistletoe, which we can think of for love, and the holly and its berries for joy, and the poinsettia for the stars. Thank you.
That's a beautiful thought.
Poinsettia of the stars.
The star that leads us and guides us. We all have a star of our own that shines in the highest heaven.
Have any of you ever looked up at the heavens and felt a drawing from somewhere in that great space toward a certain spot?
Perhaps you couldn't even see it, and yet you felt as though there were lines connecting you with a particular spot in there. Did you all have that?
I think that's one of the most interesting experiences. It makes us realize our unity with the cosmos. We're not separate. There is a substance between all the stars in the heavens and us that connects us all and makes a unity of us all. And there is a particular substance between all the students of this little assembly, which makes us a unit. And if anyone disturbs that substance, we all feel it. If anyone is ill and suffering, we're all aware of it. Because we are all part of an inner being. Do you ever think of that? When things come to you, and you would have the idea, you may have the idea of doing something that isn't quite noble at all. Perhaps it is. Do you ever stop to think that this substance that links us all into a unit will receive that, and that everyone will see it, but they will not know where it comes from? Or the cause. They may have quite a battle to overcome the feeling or the tendency to do something that seems out of the ordinary, something they normally wouldn't care to do. And so, remember, you are not alone. You are not separate. You are all a unit. And we all suffer when one does wrong. We all suffer when one is ill. We're all suffering with Catherine. Catherine, with her great struggle to master this intermediate plane and to get above things. And she is struggling. She's trying. I don't know. Just at present, I think she's trying in too positive a way. So when you think of her as mastering the egoic positive. And turning it into unity with divinity. And that will help her. Because your thoughts always help or hinder those to whom they are directed. Walter, may we hear from you?
Great opportunity the last 2 weeks. I spent quite a little time in Lone Pine. And the first time that I've ever seen the mountain ridges white and the snow coming over the top made me feel kind of homesick for the old group to see them up there. And I enjoyed very much when Mother spoke of the sun. I never saw the sun so beautiful as it was up there in the snow. It seemed like the streamers went out in the big cross both ways from the sun as you looked at it. And I couldn't locate the particular canyon that we were used to going up, but I think I placed it pretty well. I know, I remember Carroll Creek, but I just noticed that as we passed. So I wondered at the time if we were, as a group, ever going to be up there again. I probably a little bit pessimistic about myself being there, but I felt kind of blue when I thought that we had missed even one meeting, 1 year's adventure up there. And I remember wishing and hoping that things would come out so that the group could still continue their activities up on those mountains. I enjoy, of course, the Christmas with all of you. I hope you all have a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. I'll probably be up in there again for the New Year season myself. Not quite so far of them this time.
Thank you. I'm sure everyone here echoes that wish. I know the beauty of those white mountains, and I should like to see them. Say, may we hear from you next?
Mother, Yogi, and fellow students. I think the thing I like best about Christmas is that everybody sort of forgets himself and thinks about other people and what they can do to make others happy. And in that spirit of forgetfulness of the little self, why everybody seems to expand and feel very happy, and you feel a feeling of love going out from people to each other. And even those people who don't attach too much religious significance to the Christmas time, they still seem to enter into that spirit of forgetting their little self and thinking of others and how to make someone else happy. And in that spirit, I think Christmas touches us all.
Thank you, Frank. I think that's the keynote of Christmas, making others happy. Bill, when may we hear from you?
Hello, Sue. We're all happy to be here this Christmas season of 51, and we all hope to be here this same time in 1952, plus a lot more new members.
A lot more of us. At least a few.
Is, when they were speaking about everyone feeling thinking about the other fellow in the Christmas season, I know she's right, but the other day when I was going home from work and there was too many cars on the road, everybody was trying to go someplace to do some shopping to beat the other fellow there. So while they're thinking of the other person, they we have to also think of them on the road, I believe, too. Thank you.
That's one thing that's greatly needed, a realization of the fact that courtesy towards one another should exist when we're in automobiles and driving down the road. So seldom do we find it. Occasionally you meet one who will stop and let you pass, and if you do, never forget to smile and indicate that you're saying thank you. They can't hear you, but they can see your mouth. the recognition always to courtesy that you receive on the boat. See, I have to think. I can't see as well. I have to think. Caroline, may we hear from you?
Since this is the time for peace on earth and goodwill to man, I would like to make one request that has bothered me considerably today. Jean has received a letter from a young man from Korea, and he is again entering the combat season. And he asked for Jean if he wouldn't please pray for him. So I would like to request the students tonight before they go to bed to have a good thought for a young man called Daniel Boone. Thank you.
I suggest that we all get quiet and pray for the health and safety of Daniel Boone, and may he enter the light. Whoever's nearest the fireplace, take a look at it and see whether it needs a suit of wood or not. Peter Wynn, may we hear from you next?
Mother, Yogi, and fellow on the path. It will be 23 years next week. It was on Thursday between Christmas and New Year that I had the privilege and the fortune of meeting Mother and Yogi in Chicago. Seems like it was yesterday, and yet I have no proof of it, tangible proof, but seems to me that ever since, I've known him for ages. This must have been just a reunion to continue, perhaps, what we left behind before. I was in the prime of my life during those days, and I had very high aspiration both materially and spiritually. When I look back now, it seems that I've made very little progress, if any, either material or spiritually. And yet, I would not take all the gold in the world if someone would say to relinquish the little realization and whatever glimpse of the light that I've had during these 23 years. This being a Christmas and symbolizing the birth of the Christ, I hope that the Christ will be not only be born in all of us tonight, but will the light will increase in radiance, and that we will spend many, many more Christmases together and see each and every one grow further and further. And now I wish to extend my greetings for the very Merry Christmas and very Happy New Year to Mother, to Yogi, and to all of you.
Same to you, Peter.
Thank you.
I'm looking back to those days, the first time that I visited Peter's home in Kenosha. I've never forgotten what I thought He had his mother. He had an old aunt that he was taking care of. He had his wife and his family. And there was one other. Who was your relation?
My brother and my sister-in-law.
Your brother and your sister.
And their children.
And their children. And Peter was the head of the family. And he was a fine head. He always has been. He led that family. He kept it in the way he wanted to go. And although he doesn't realize the change that has taken place in himself and in his wife, the change is great. Far greater than he knows. Those of us who can look back can see many changes in all of us. They've all changed. Joseph?
Mother, and Yogi, and brothers and sisters. First of all, I want to thank you for those beautiful words, Mother. Also, I want to wish you all what is called a white Christmas and a white New Year. Not so much the ordinary white Christmas, which consists of sprinkling of white crystals over the ground, but rather that we should become immersed in the crystal, white crystal light, be able to radiate that light to all the world. One good feature about an impromptu talk is that one tends to speak from the heart. Didn't have time to organize talk with his mind, and I think it sounds much better that way. I notice that all of you so far have come up and spoken from the heart without any trepidation at all. For after all the fear and all its attendant petty worries is not a thing that comes naturally from the heart. We experience them because we try to confine within a heart that's supposed to go out with its spiritual forces in an encirclement of all mankind. We try to cramp that force within our little heart, and as a result we have our petty fears and concerns. I was thinking today also of the Sangha. I found that Sangha means purity. Purity of thought, act, and purity of the heart. It also means the purity, preserving in their purity the truths of the ancient wisdom religion. And wherever individuals or groups have preserved that purity, they have prospered. And where they have not, they have failed. And so I think as a thought for the coming year that we not only make the coming Christmas Day a day of sending forth Christic love and light, but that we carry as much as we can that spirit throughout the whole year. I have found in my contact with people that you don't convince them so much by what you say, by your argument. You convince them more if you show them that the facts of which you speak are backed up in your own life. If you can radiate, and believe me, they can feel it in some measure or other, whether you radiate it or not. You radiate truth, light, and love. People will feel it, and they will be impressed, even though they don't understand it. And so, I would like for all of us, as much as possible in the coming year to try to preserve that purity in our contact with others and all the forces that we send out toward all the world. Perhaps if we do this with a fair amount of consistency in the coming year, we will become part of the real Sangha, which is pure light and substance and love. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That's a beautiful thought. Purity. Purity of mind, purity of heart, purity of body. With your thoughts positive in the divine self, you will be a little center of light and compassion in this world, a center through which the great ones can be. What have I missed back in the darkness there?
The angel is made down there.
Mrs.
Murray.
Murray, all right. Murray, will you come and speak to us?
Murray, Yogi, and fellow students, this is a particularly joyous time of the year because not only is it the time of the year, new cycle, as it were, but humanity as a whole is thinking fellowship. They're thinking toward goodwill, toward the Christ. It gives a particular uplift. And it's a good time point to stop and look back. I think we've had a very good year. Yogi has given us a wonderful string of lectures. They've been instructive, they've been inspiring. And I think you all join with me in thanking him very much for the messages we've had. And also we thank the Mother for her presence, her words, her love. And I am particularly grateful myself, because this is a fine group and I've been enjoying just your presence. And with that light we have, though we haven't had everything the way we wanted it, we have missed some wonderful things we could have had. We can still plan for the future. We can still have our camp. We can still have everything that's good if we plan that way. This time I wish to wish you all, Mother Yogi and students, a very Merry Christmas and a spiritually rich and productive New Year.
Thank you, Mary. Spiritually rich and productive New Year. Let's think what that means. May we all have it. May Bill, may we hear from you.
Mother, Yogi, and fellow students. Mark Twain made a remark once that one of the compensations of growing old was the fact that you could do the things you wanted to do. If you wanted to stay home at night for your fireplace instead of going out to a banquet, you could do so. One of the compensations of growing old, which I have found, is that I have discovered how Santa Claus got down the chimney. Maybe childhood years are very long, and it seems to me I spent half my life wondering how it was possible for him to come down the chimney and through that stovepipe and out that small door with that pack on his back without getting covered with soot. Those things bothered me very much. However, another compensation for, I'm going to say, growth and not age is that I have learned a deeper meaning to Christmas. Several years ago, I took part in a candle lighting procession. It was in the evening after dark, and about 50 of us in the group. One of us started the candle and passed the light all along the line, and it was a beautiful sight to watch that little flame leaping from one to another until the whole 50 candles were alight. And I was thinking today how the candles of Christmas should remind us that that is a way of keeping the truth alight. As we light our candles, think that we are keeping the truth alight and helping to pass it on. And now I want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Thanks, Mabel. Now, the symbol of the candle is such a beautiful symbol. It is said that once the light of the heart glows, it lights the hearts of those above them. That this light that we see in the breasts of the initiates, this light, if you polarize, will find itself in your heart. But there has to be the polarization to that higher light. And when the light springs forth in the heart of a student, of a disciple, instantly is seen and recorded in the great book. His path henceforth is under full observation. But until that light springs, the observation is delegated to the lesser ones among us who work and try to help you. Sometimes we succeed and sometimes we don't. But we try. May we hear from you now, Jean?
Mother, Yogi, it is my wish that each of you attain that inner peace that will make you invulnerable to all the discord of the world. And when we attain that peace, we always reflect the Christmas spirit and we become a power for good. And I wish you always will be joyous this year, because there's no power better than joy changing the ills of the world.
I think that's an important thing, joy. You know, I think we get too serious. I think that we should laugh and that we should find that joy in life that all nature seems to know and reflect. I don't think that the divine being wants us to be solemn all the time. He has made this world, it is said, as a lila. That is, as a playground for his forces, for his thought, for himself. And if that is true, we shouldn't be afraid to play. We shouldn't be afraid to be joyous. We should carry it through everything with us. And if we will turn in, we will find that underlying joy. Even when you're in the deepest pain, that joy is there. You can find it if you try. And as you find it, gains power And now, may we hear from our teacher, Dr. Marwell, my husband.
Oh, that has to be an honor, dear. Yes, I thought I was to have the novel experience of listening and recording and not speaking. But it seems that I'm fated to carry on in the same old pattern of speech. There was, however, one thing I was thinking of as you were speaking, and also as I listened to certain things said over the radio by the regular group of entertainers, a special statement with respect to Christmas. And there seemed to be, or at the time, a special thought that was altruistic, that was reaching out beyond oneself or one's ordinary activities. That is probably as important an office as Christmas carries, is this return to one's basic motive and a raising of that motive, of the best in us, into some degree of expression. But there was a further thought that our aim should be not simply feeling sincere, feeling beyond ourselves on one occasion or on two or three occasions in the year, but rather to strive to keep this sentiment alive at all times in the same spirit that one aims to practice the surrender to the divine at all times. In other words, the effort is to render permanent certain qualities and certain attitudes instead of entertaining them on special occasions. Of course, this is not easy. The point is to aim at it and never give up so long as one has not achieved that aim. One must be willing to witness failure after failure and yet keep on trying and trying until automatically and naturally he maintains these attitudes and the spirit of surrender to the divine without let up. That's one thought I think I will leave.
Thank you, Doctor. I apologize, I forgot all about the singing.
Oh, you did it well.
May we have a song, Faye?
Would you like something familiar?
Something we all know the words of?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Which do you know the words of?
Oh, joy to the world. Joy to the world.
All right. If you don't know the words, hum it loud,
Thank you.
you that anyone would like to say tonight? Anything particular? And have you all said all you want to say?
Well, what I'm impressed with is the things that people say really give you a keynote to what they are. And one person will speak so that you know that they're unselfish, they're thinking of someone else. And another one will speak from his heart. And to me, it's intensely interesting to really hear what people have to say. You get an insight into their character.
Yes, thank you. That is very true. Of course, when we're talking before each other, we're all giving forth of our best. And we all, there are two of us, you know. There's always the one that carries the brunt of life on the physical plane. That one gets very tired sometimes, and perhaps impatient. But the other one never does. The real one, which I hope you all have found, that one is always patient and always loving, and more or less wise according to her or his evolution. And of course, those of us who are trying to go beyond mind are having a little difficulty, because to polarize to the supermind, to that new super race that is beginning to come into manifestation here on Earth, means that for a period you are going to have a little trouble to express yourself. The only way you really can express yourself at such times is, shall we say, intuitively or inspirationally and sincerely. I hope we all make the new race, the super race. It's going to be a wonderful race. And we get the power to penetrate through. Then we shall be able to talk. Then we shall be able to use our minds clearly and forcefully, as well as to fill our thoughts with the inspiration of that higher realm. Yogi was reading to me tonight a chapter on the mother from Savitri, and it is the most beautiful thing that you ever listened to. And no one has ever expressed himself so exquisitely as Aurobindo. You just have a sort of feeling of inner delight in the way he forms his thoughts into sentences. And the things he writes can become an initiation. You let your consciousness flow into it. You come to something that strikes the chord in here, and you are one with it. Well, you'll find that it's much more than that. That there is a definite reality corresponding to it. I hope you'll all get the victory and study it, because if you like things expressed in a mystical language that is utterly perfect in its formation, you'll love the victory. Well, shall we sing again?
Silent night.
We can sing Silent Night, or we can
Hark the Herald Angels Sing?
I don't think we know the words for that. At least I don't know any of them.
We all know
Silent Night, but I thought that would be such a beautiful thing to close on tonight when we're finished. Well, let's go and get some is it ginger ale? No, what is it?
Root beer.
Root beer and a cake.